Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hey everyone, on this episode, I'll be talking to Pete Newbig and Steve Rosenberg from Empire Industries out of Houston. And this is a very timely interview with these two as they just went through Hurricane Harvey and have experienced, you know, quite a few goings on over there in the Houston area. I wanted to get them on right away. I apologize for in advance. We did have some technical difficulties with Skype kind of about three quarters of the way through. So there's going to be a little bit of splicing and cutting there. But for the most part, this is a golden interview with these guys with lots of lessons learned on how to handle some natural disasters that may come your way. And this could apply to any property management company out there, no matter where you are. If you're in Tornado Alley, if you're in Snowstorm Central, or if you're in Earthquake, wherever. I mean, there's any type of a natural disaster like a hurricane. The lessons learned coming from these guys can be applied anywhere. So definitely take the time to listen to this episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. All right, let's take a listen. And welcome everybody to another episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show. Thanks for joining us. And I'm on a live Facebook broadcast right now. My guests today are going to be Pete Newbig and Steve Rosenberg from Empire Industries LLC, a property management company out of Houston, Texas. And I wanted to get these two gents on the podcast and on the Facebook live show to talk about what's going on in Houston after Hurricane Harvey. Now, these two gents have been on the show before. I've had Steve on the podcast show prior. He's been one of the most downloaded guests that we've had. And we've had Pete on as well, talking about operations. So these guys are kind of old veterans of podcasting and talking about stuff on the radio, talking about stuff on Facebook and podcasting. So without further ado, I want to introduce Pete and Steve. Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Brad, thanks for having us on.
Good, Brad. Thank you.
Good. Hopefully the Facebook world can hear you and sound good for the podcast. So first thing that I think the burning questions are going to be out there is, how are you guys doing in Houston? I mean, what's the status of what's going on with y'all?
Well, Houston as a city is still kind of hurting a little bit. Traffic is pretty bad still throughout the city because there's a lot of roads and there's certain areas of town that we can't get to. However, Empire as a company, I feel like we're doing really well and we have a very good handle. We're very busy. Our property managers and our assistants are very busy, but we have we've contacted every one of our owners, almost every one of our residents, and every day we're getting more and more information and getting more and more damaged fixed. So as a company, we've come out stronger than we had, I think, before we went into this storm.
Yeah, you know, Brad, it's to me, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like eating the elephant one bite at a time, you know, and this was a huge elephant that basically, you know, on Wednesday, I heard, oh, there's a storm coming our way. And, you know, by Friday, we were, you know, engulfed in this thing. So it wasn't like we had time to prepare for this. Because as you know, when storms come, you don't really plan and know, is it really going to hit you? Is it not? And in the back of your mind, you're hoping, oh, this thing's just going to veer off, or the media's overhyping it. And then when it hits, and the way it hit us is, not only did it hit, but it you know, it just rained and rained for days and days, which was different than our last hurricane, Ike, you know, that Pete and I went through, was wind and damage, kind of like what's about to hit Miami.
Yeah, and it rolled through less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
It was in and out, and then up north as it, you know, as Ike went all the way to Ohio.
Yeah.
This one here, the challenge was that as much as we wanted to get out there and start working, we really couldn't.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Brad, because of the team and because of how we handled the situation, we are a lot further along than we anticipated as far as, you know, getting the properties and getting all the, you know, getting information and just being ahead of the curve, so to speak. And I've talked to other management companies in Houston, and it sounds like we've kind of, you know, even doing a lot more than what our counterparts were able to do. And I think that all gets down to having some direction and having just great team members.
So yeah. To back up a little bit with you guys, kind of give some context of who you guys are. You run a management company in Houston. So how many homes are you talking about that you manage at this point, roughly?
So we're right around 700 homes. in Houston and the surrounding areas, which if anybody knows about Houston, that is a huge amount of land to cover.
That's a good 700 plus families. And then, of course, you got 700 plus, you know, potential owners that are all on the spaz out mode. I mean, clearly, and for justification reasons, you have tenants that are freaking out because they're, you know, all the media is telling us that the world's going to end, which, you know, it looks pretty bad on the media. I'll be real honest with you. And then, of course, you got 700 owners who are in freak out mode because their homes are about ready to be damaged in a major way. So talk to me about how you guys handled some of that particular. I mean, it was probably, you know, freak out mode before even the storm hit. And how did you guys handle that?
So, Brad, I will say that, you know, Pete did an amazing job of really just taking point on this whole project. I mean, he kind of came and the true, you know, the true leadership came when speed was the key. And, you know, he got in there. I mean, literally, I think the storm was still going on and he was already kind of going against what he was telling the team to do. He went out there and started looking at properties and getting some ideas. And, you know, the speed of taking action really, I think, was the precipitator of this. Because not only to me as a leader was he going out there and doing that, but he was showing by example. And he wasn't in freakout mode. He actually came up with a very strategic plan of dissecting each problem as to, and Pete can kind of touch on this more, but of, okay, what are the problems we have? We have flooded properties, we have damaged properties, we have properties unable to contact, you know, and I'm not sure the other ones that you came up with, but basically we segmented those out and then we started to dissect each problem as opposed to just looking at this huge, massive problem. And when he broke it down, he made it more actionable items for each team member that we allocated to the specific problem.
That's great. And I want to talk further about that because a lot of fellow property management companies out there want to know what's going on with you guys, because we're all doing a self-reflection thing at this point saying, I hope we're ready. I mean, did you guys have a hurricane action plan kind of already in place, or it was kind of like an ad hoc thing that you had to put together knowing how bad or weird it's going to get when the storm hits? Talk me through about your preparedness side.
Sure. So first thing is I do want to say, I know that the media tends to overblow some stuff on, you know, to try to make a story. They did not overblow this story at all.
This was pretty accurate, I would have to say.
This was very accurate. So as bad as it looked like on TV, it was. It just wasn't the whole city. It was, I think I heard anywhere from 10 to 15% of the city.
Well, they said 70% of Harris County, which is the major county, had at least a foot and a half of water. So I don't know how they relate that, but it was, you know, when you look at the pictures of the freeways, that to me was mind blowing.
So the first thing, Brad, is yes, we actually have something written down. Everybody knows Gene Storms. And they purchased that manual.
Or they should.
And they should. And we had that manual. But unfortunately, like many other property management companies out there, that manual is buried and we bought it, but we really never did much with it. So what we came up with was more of an ad hoc. But the first thing we did is before the storm even hit, we let our owners and our residents know how they can get updates. So we did not want to use email as a form of communication. We used Facebook and we used our portal for our property management software. And the main reason is with email, if I'm sending an email out through the property management software, then I'm the one who's getting inundated with hundreds and hundreds of emails, and then I can't get to them. And really what we want to do is we needed a one-way communication, not a two-way communication in the very beginning. We need to let people know where we are. Is the office open? What are our plans, you know, and so forth. So we let our owners and our residents know how we're going to be given updates. We also, one of the things we did not do, which I implore everybody, is if you do have those free conference call numbers and you have lots of teammates, make sure that conference call number can handle the amount of people that are going to be on that conference call. We ended up trying to have a conference call Tuesday when the storm was still going on, and we had too many people join, and the conference call didn't work. So we had to go to Google Hangouts as a means. And Steve found a way that you can actually call into Google Hangouts.
Yeah, it's called Uber Conference for those that want to use it. It's basically an add-on extension to Google Hangouts. So, you know,
and
we
it's
had
free.
And it's free. It's all part of it. But we were able to have, I think, almost 30 people because, you know, we have teams in Dallas, Mexico, the Philippines, and all over Houston. So that's with our realtors. I mean, we had everyone that could be on this conference call and Google Hangouts, and that took everybody.
Yeah. So the next thing so after the storm hit, the first thing we did is we made sure that everybody in our team was okay. You know, are they physically okay? Because at the end of the day, I think that's the most important before homes, before clients. Is your team okay? And then we also need to know what resources did we have available? I mean, heck, if Amanda's house was flooded, she was not a resource that we were going to have. And so we needed to take basically stock of, one, is everybody okay physically? Two, you know, are they in a safe place? And then three, who do we have available to start tackling this? Because having a property manager who manages 100 to maybe, you know, 150 or 200 properties, they're going to need some help. And we actually had our realtors, we had our marketing people, we had our salespeople, we had everybody in the company basically assign them jobs that were not part of their job description. So that was the first thing that we did. Once they were okay, then we had a company-wide conference call. We had them twice a day just to make sure everybody was okay, getting updates on everybody, and then trying to come up with an action plan. Once we had an action plan, then we created project managers, and we gave those project managers resources. For an example, what we did is we downloaded, for example, we had like a salesperson be a project manager for the, you know, we haven't heard from the resident project. And they might have had a marketing person and an assistant as their resources. This way, the calls, because we didn't need 20 people on the calls. We just needed five or six people on the calls, and then they can give us updates, and then they can disseminate what the action items are moving forward. So, what is our plan moving forward? And then that they can go ahead and bring that down to their teams. So, when you have 25 people on a conference call, it's very difficult to control that. But four or five people was very easy to control. And once we did that, we really started seeing a lot of action items get knocked off.
And we could talk to them as, you know, because everybody wants to have that conversation with you. You know, the agents want to let you know about a certain property where that's not the time to have it when you have 30 people on a call and we're trying to limit the time. So they, you know, just having the project leaders on the phone call was a lot smarter, because then they could disseminate the information to the agents, and if that was their team, and they could have that discussion offline, maybe have their own group, their own Google Hangout meeting if they wanted to get their teams together. But it was kind of like a leadership, a ad hoc leadership council, basically. Yeah.
And you know, we're 10 days into this storm, and we're still having those on a daily basis. Every 4 o'clock, we're having an update meeting, and we're just going to keep having those until we feel that we don't need to have them anymore. And right now, we still feel the need that we need to have those. So how do we tackle, you know, so one, now we have the structure, how do we tackle it? So I downloaded all of our properties from our property management software into a spreadsheet. That was the first thing we did. Then as we're getting updates from residents saying that the house flooded, we would create a tab, and we had a flooded tab. We also took all the vacant properties and created a vacancy tab because we knew it was important to walk those vacants. So we created all these different tabs. If we didn't hear anything, we created a tab for that. And then we gave resources to each one of those projects. The first thing as a company that we felt that we needed to do, instead of going and walking the flooded properties, we felt we needed to go walk the vacant units to make sure those vacant units were rent ready, because we knew just from the news that there was going to be a shortage of housing, and there still is today. Matter of fact, we're 10 days in, and I think we're at 35 approved applications.
It's like 43. I think.
Is it up to 43
it was
now?
Quite a bit. Yeah,
I know we have 35. I think we had another 15 that were pending.
Yeah.
So we're going to lease about 50 properties in 2 weeks, and so that just shows you that we had boots on the ground on Tuesday when it was still raining. I was out there looking at vacants along with some of our agents, and we did it very, very strategically. If you lived in a 2 to 5 mile radius and you felt okay, I let you do it. If you still didn't feel okay moving out of your home and driving around, you were not allowed to do it. So we really didn't want anybody getting out and being in harm's way, but some people wanted to get out there, and I basically said, don't do it, and I went out and did it. So they kind of, I hate to say it, I think they might have followed my lead, but We walked 90 vacants within five days.
And it wasn't just 90 vacants that you could easily get to. That's the thing is, you know, there's still a couple of properties.
There's three vacants that are still, we cannot get there. We don't know.
Yeah. When. They're still underwater. So, I mean, it's not like you can just drive up to the house. You've got to kind of maneuver through streets. So it's, you know, you're kind of being tactical trying to get to these properties, you know? And so I remember at one point I looked on the map and every freeway out of Houston was closed.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you've got other challenges that you have to deal with along with the safety of the team. And of course the mental stress, I mean, everyone's dealing with it. I will say every single person on our team, it was amazing. It was almost like it was infectious how well they all stepped up and followed Pete's lead of just getting it done. No one ever complained. No one ever, you know, I mean, everybody went above and beyond. It was pretty amazing.
So we have all that in the background, but you know, Brad, as a property manager, you're doing a lot of work on the background. And if the owner is not being communicated with, he has no idea and he thinks you guys aren't doing anything. I will say this. Our clients have been great through this process. They've reached out. Numerous people have reached out to everyone on our team, making sure that we're okay first and foremost. And then, of course, asking about their property.
Sure.
So we made Steve kind of the communications head. And so, Steve, you want to talk a little bit about how you made sure you communicated not just to our owners, but to basically to everybody out there?
Yeah. You know, so, Brad, what we did on that in regards to that is, you know, we really tried to utilize social media. We have a some sort of presence, I guess you could say, on social media that we do push a lot of stuff. And we really tried to take it to the next level. We just basically started utilizing Facebook Live. And for the people out there that don't use it, I would definitely recommend it because people aren't going to read it, but they will watch a video. And, you know, we got, I think one video I had about 4,000 views in about 2 days just talking about what is going on currently at the time. So I tried to do a Facebook Live video every day, just giving people an update. I wasn't necessarily talking to our owners, but I was just talking to people in general. Because Brad, as you know, when something like this happens, everyone's calling you and it's tying up your phone and you can't get other stuff done. So when you push everything to Facebook, then what I was doing is anytime I would get any information about insurance, FEMA, I would just put it on Facebook and then I would take it and share it to every real estate group I knew. And we started evolving into kind of a point of reference for people. Because so we had a lot of other people contacting us. Then we came up with the idea of joining forces with other local management companies. So we went and partnered with about four other companies because, look, we're all in the same boat. And we basically said, hey, look, we all have vacant properties. We all have this challenge. Let's all combine forces. We will create a landing page on our website. We'll create a Google document that is basically a live document. We will put your properties on there, our properties, everyone's properties. And, you know, Brad, I just talked to you this morning because, you know, a good chunk of available properties are not existent in Houston. And we do have people moving to San Antonio. So we're putting your vacant properties on there as well, just to be a one-stop shop for tenants because, you know, tenants have no idea where do you go to find a vacant property. And we don't need to manage it. We're telling people that are even self-managing landlords, we're reaching out to them saying, hey, if you want, we will throw your property on our sheet just to be a point of contact. So by combining forces and being that point of contact on social media, we've really kind of gotten to a stride of being a leader because I think our speed of action and the fact that we got out in front of this right away, I think was a huge benefit. A
couple questions on the communication side. I want to be clear on what kind of software you found was the best for the conference calls, which is a great idea. So were you doing a daily conference call at 4 p.m.? And anybody could call into that? How is the best practice working? I mean, what platform were you using and how does that work?
We were using Google Hangouts. We found that to be the best with the Uber conference call number.
It's Uber conference. And again, Brad, you know, like a lot of things, we didn't really have time because it was so fast. We just tried to be functional. So, you know, Google obviously can hold the capacity. So we use the Google Hangouts. We use the Uber conference. You know, it may not have been the best. It may not have been pretty, but it was functional and it worked. Same thing with our landing page. You know, we created I don't know if I mentioned this, we created a Hurricane Harvey landing page on our website with all pertinent information. You know, things like, if my car is towed, how do I find my car? That would be a good number to have on that list. you know, FEMA information. There was a big insurance discussion about insurance changing on September 1st. So we put all that stuff there. And the landing page, my point of that is that the landing page wasn't very pretty. It's still not very pretty, but it's functional and it's a usable tool. So, you know, again, in a perfect world, when you can plan it, it would be different. But right now we're just trying to get it out there.
And the Google Hangout with the Uber conference call worked like a champ. And we would continue using that. This way, if you didn't have computer access, you can go ahead and just dial the phone number and you get the same number each time you do the Google Hangout. So we had a conference call every day at 4. Actually, we had it at noon and 4 for a few days. And then now we have it just at 4. And that same number with the same pin works each time.
Yeah.
So if you're not on Google, and then we just sent it through a Google Calendar request.
And another thing we did, Brad, which, you know, obviously it takes a little expense to do this, but, you know, Pete and I started reaching out to local television stations, and Pete had a contact friend at a station, and we actually filmed a commercial,
a public service announcement.
Just saying how we can help and that we do have properties available for people. And, you know, we figure that will multiply because that's going to take people to the landing page, which will then be able to help all the property management companies on that page fill their properties and help these people find houses.
Well, let me ask you this too. Did you guys have to evacuate your office?
No. Well, we're on the second floor in an area that doesn't flood. So we didn't have to evacuate the office, but no one could get here probably all week of the flood. So we basically had everybody working from home. We have a voice over IP phone system. If you do not have a voice over IP phone system, unfortunately, one of our friends who owns a management company has hardwired phone system, couldn't get to his office. He was, you know, almost down and out for a week. We were actually running the business. Our phones are being answered because we have assistants in Mexico and Philippines. Our phones were being answered. We were never down. The company was never not answering the phone. We were never out of business.
That was one of my big questions. I wanted to find out, because right now, let's say, you know, today is Thursday, the 7th. We've got Hurricane Irma bearing down on Florida, and a lot of those folks are under mandatory evacuation. Now, I'm going to push this podcast out right away to where we can just post it tomorrow or the next day, as soon as we can get it edited and done. So hopefully some of those folks over there can hear some of your advice, especially on Facebook and potentially on that podcast, and how they should and could be preparing for what's coming. Because, you know, you never quite know. And a lot of us did want to know how bad it was in Houston. It's unfortunate to hear that it was that bad. And I'm very curious to see, and you guys have told us a lot, how you handled it and some of the good things that's going on with there. One question I do have, you know, when it was raining so bad and you guys had constant phone calls coming in, were people like calling you and say, I'm leaving the property, I'm never coming back. And now you have broken leases and all kinds of weird stuff going on. I mean, that's kind of the in-between ballgame stuff that people, managers, would be curious to find out, because, you know, what happens when a home gets flooded out? Does the tenant just break the lease and go? Question mark?
Yeah. And so we're starting to deal with that now, right? I mean, those things, like, you know, anybody that's talking about leaving or this or that, you know, we couldn't deal with it right away. We had to deal with the stuff that's really, really, you know, super important. Just determining on how we're going to handle that, we're starting to work on that now. And so if somebody, first of all, you can leave. If the house is uninhabitable, you can break that lease. And so we let our residents break the lease on an uninhabitable home if it was flooded. We're giving them back their full security deposit, and we're having the owner, basically, whether he has insurance or not, do the demo and the remediation. So there's no legal precedence for if a resident leaves some damaged belongings in the house, and there is no legal precedent that says I can charge them if I have to move that stuff out. And so what we decided, I called a lawyer on it. I've called other management companies out there. I've talked to certified property managers, and everybody has a different opinion. So we made a company policy that said, you have to remediate anyway. Guys are going to be there to do the demo. They can spend a couple of, you know, an hour or half hour to move this stuff to the curb, damaged couches and damaged beds. We're giving the resident who lost everything, we're giving them their security deposit so they can start their life. And if we can move them to one of our other homes, we're going to try to do that.
And, you know, Brad, I will, one thing I'll say is, you know, Pete, you know, has had, you know, obviously you're going to have some owners that really have no empathy for the people. And, you know, the one thing that I try to think about is that us as property managers, at the end of the day, this is a people business. And if you don't treat the people right, you're probably not going to be in business very long with that mindset. And, you know, yes, there's a bottom dollar everyone needs. You're in business to make money. I get all that. But, you know, when you're, you know, Pete was out walking properties and having a tenant basically lose all of their belongings and says, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't even have a car to drive in. I don't even know if my job exists anymore. It's kind of hard to take that stance of
and
saying,
tell them, oh, you got to move that filthy, dirty couch out to the curb, please.
Yeah. You know, so there is a human value. And like you said, I don't think when the disaster was going on that we actually had people, you know, saying like, hey, I'm leaving or this or that. I think the fact that we're working with them, because at the end of the day, like I said in the beginning, there's not as much inventory. So it's not like there's a lot of houses that they can go to right now. So the fact that we're saying, hey, we're going to get on this. I mean, if it's safe and habitable and we're saying, look, we're getting on this ASAP, that to me is, you know, that they're very appreciative that we are. And we've had a lot of tenants actually, you know, thank us. And we're going to have one on our radio show next week that we've been working with and helping. And she had some major damage, but just the way that we've been going about taking care of them, I think, is the key.
Brad, real quick, one of the things that we did as well, we sent an email out to everybody, to all of our owners and all of our residents before the storm hit on how we're going to communicate with them. And we told them we're not going to communicate through email, that we have these resident Facebook group and we have an owner Facebook group. And so we have a lot of people join those groups now. And so now they were getting updates through those Facebook groups as well.
That's great. That's mass communication at its best. I'm really excited to hear that. Because I do want to dive into some of the lessons learned just kind of as we talk, because there's never a perfect solution. I think you guys have handled this tremendously from what I'm hearing. Is there anything that you would, you know, advise somebody on a lessons learned? I mean, what if another hurricane comes through and it goes straight to San Antonio? What should we be doing?
Well, number one is make sure you have your communication set up with your team. Yeah. Make sure you have your communication set up with your owners and with your residents, and try to create some expectations. One of the things that slow us down is when owners keep calling, you know, every hour on the hour wanting updates on their home. And unfortunately, we have to almost say on the portal or on our Facebook, please don't call us as we're working through this natural disaster. We'll contact you as soon as we hear something about your home. The other thing is we called every one of our residents and every one of our owners. We called the residents to find out if they're okay, which they loved. I would create a team to make sure this team calls the residents, this team calls the owners. And if you call the resident, then when you get an update, you can call the owner and give them that update. And so we try to call the residents first, and then we call the owners. So what we did is we communicate with the owner saying, we're reaching out to all your residents. Give us a day. We'll get back to you on the update of your property. That will help the inbound of calls lessen a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing I would say, Brad, that I noticed is, you know, what we didn't really have time to do this, but lesson learned, like you said, is have those job roles of who's doing what prior to the emergency happening. Because, you know, like anything, if you don't train for it and you're not prepared for it, it's kind of like chaos and mayhem. So the fact that Pete was kind of able to corral this within a couple of days and get some structure was really amazing. But had we had this set up saying, okay, here's the structure of damaged properties, flooded properties, this is where they're going to go. And the other thing I would say, which kind of goes back to a business model, is have your vendors and other, you know, extra contractors ready to go. You know, we treat our vendors very, very good, and we try to do a very good job of taking care of them so that when we called them and said, hey, this is our plan, and they saw how organized we were, they were like, you guys are first on our list. We're going to work with you guys first, essentially, because we weren't in chaos. We had service tickets. I think we created, what, 347 service tickets?
Over 400.
Oh, okay. Over 400 service tickets within 2 days to these vendors. So it wasn't like we were calling them. It was very structured and organized. But, you know, we treat them good prior, so they're a good partner of ours. We don't treat them as just, hey, you do business for us. We really value that relationship. And I could tell you that that came back to us many folds during this emergency.
Yeah, and I'll just add on, you know, we're getting a lot of calls out of the woodworks from all these people that are coming in from out of town, out of state. And, you know, we're in a fortunate position that we don't think we need them right now because of our communication and because of the understanding of some of our residents. We might not be able to get to that roof leak for a couple of weeks, but we're going to use our 5 or 6 roof vendors. I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to onboard a new vendor because I don't know anything about them. I trust the guys that have been with us through thick and thin. And we have about 5 vendors in each area that are just, you know, we're the priority for them.
In any natural disaster, you're going to get some carpetbaggers, and they might be good intentioned and looking to help, but there's also the other side of that where they're just trying to take advantage of a situation. We saw that a lot where we had the hailstorms a year ago, and we had all these roofing companies come into town, and some of them were not really good, and they were trying to take advantage of people. So, I mean, that's going to happen. One of the things I do want to talk to you guys about is how many of your homes were actually affected by everything that went on?
Man, you know, it's so many.
It's funny. It was only a week ago, but it seems like a blur.
I can tell you within one day, we had 180 homes that reported something on Wednesday. Since then, I would say, you know, I would probably say 50% of our portfolio. So I would say about 350 homes have reported something, if not more.
How many of those you think are going to be unlivable?
I think we're looking at between 15 and 20 right now.
Yeah, it really, you know, what we thought it was when we were talking about houses flooded, and, you know, you talk to a tenant and you ask them, how is it? And they said a house is flooded, and you're like, oh, okay, that goes on the flooded list. And then obviously then we had to go walk the properties, and then Pete would go and look at the property, or someone would go look at it, and they say, well, it's not flooded. It took on a little bit of water. There was some damage, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Or the garage got water in the front entryway.
Yeah.
That's not flooded. Flooded means the whole house. To us, when we defined it for this project, flooded meant the whole house, even if it was an inch, that was flooded because it was the whole house. And that means the house at that point would become unlivable.
They're saying it's flooded. You're thinking waist-high water, and you get over there, and there's water touching the edge of the garage, right?
Yeah.
So it's all perspective at that point.
And I will say we got lucky a few times. There were some homes that we couldn't get to because of the water. But then when the water receded and somebody got there, it did not flood at all. And we throw a little party when we got one of those. And of course, we had the other way too. Whole area flooded. We go to the house and it had, you know, a foot of water in it.
Can you think of any good, I'm sure you have a ton of them, but any top of mind feel good stories that come out of this? I mean, acts of heroism or something of, you know, super generosity, something that would be kind of interesting to hear.
Well, I'd say that the big one was we had a vendor. He had to go light a pilot on a hot water heater. Uh-huh. Couldn't get to the house. Parks his car, wades through 2-3 feet of water. I mean, it's like up
to
his waist.
Yeah, it took him 20 minutes to get to the property.
Lights the pilot light, doesn't charge, didn't charge. So I thought that was something that was.
Yeah, that one. And then the other one I would say that stands out, and we threw it on Facebook because they were just so excited that we had a resident, you know, that husband, wife, and 3 kids, 3 little girls. And they basically lost everything, the house, the car, the clothes. I mean, they had nothing. We got them another house that we're managing. We put them in the house.
And then one of our property managers donated a whole bunch of tools and food and donated everything. I paid out of our pocket to hook them up.
And I mean, they were just so excited that, you know, because, you know, they hear these stories of people saying there's no houses, there's no this. And now not only did we find them a house, they didn't have to, you know, worry about a credit check. I mean, nothing. They were just an easy transfer. And we gave them, you know, tools, you know, the property manager's husband gave them tools for that husband and clothes for the kids and toys. And they were just, you know, it's so nice to see that come out of a horrible situation.
And I would say this, Brad, you know, one of the things everybody gets caught up in is, you know, trying to give back. And, you know, my wife, she was off of work and she went out and helped people, you know, tear down sheetrock for friends and stuff like that. But what you can do as a property manager company in the community is do your job and do it very fast and efficiently and get people, you know, the help that's needed. You know, we didn't, like Steve and I, we didn't have the time to go out and help friends cut sheetrock, but I had time to walk our units and make sure that we had vacant properties to, you know, we actually waived our app fee. We waived our lease processing fee. We talked to other companies around Houston and they ended up following suit.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, again, something else that happened is we had Wes Owens from Citizen Home Solutions. He stepped up and, you know, they're a utility concierge.
Yeah. He's got a percentage of proceeds back
to the tenants. So, I mean, we've had so many people step up just I think following the lead of what we're doing. But, you know, I think doing that is better in my opinion, better than helping one person cut drywall. I mean, we're eating the, like Pete said, we're eating the cost for all application fees. We're doing the background checks. And, you know, those are things I think we're helping massive.
And as much as you want to donate time and give back, you know, that's for people that, you know, are not in real estate. I think at this point, as property management, this is when we shine. This is, you know, working, you know, 15 hour days. I mean, my managers and my assistants are still working lots of hours to just make sure that we take care of our owner clients and our resident clients.
Yeah,
that's great. So any stories on big organizations coming in and trying to help, like donate money or donate time or resources? I mean, you hear all the stories on the news about how much money is being donated, you know, how much the president is showing up and doing walks. I mean, just kind of hear, what are you seeing on the ground? Anything coming up, or is this going to be more just, you know, bureaucratic hype? What are you seeing?
Honestly, at the properties that I've walked through, I've seen tons of volunteers walking those neighborhoods, just asking what they can do and putting you on a list and trying to get volunteers to help people. So I'm sure there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape out there, but there are lots of boots on the ground. And of course, we've seen all the stories with the Cajun Navy and, you know, people just, you know, taking their boats out and just good Samaritans helping each other out. That is all true stuff that's happened here.
Now, I hear, Pete, you ended up adopting this recent.
Yeah, I did. I was walking a property and there's this dog comes up to me. At first, I thought he was, you know, going to try to bite me, but he ended up being the sweetest dog. He used a pit mix, got a busted right leg, and then I'm fostering him. And most likely, if the wife allows, we'll probably keep him. But he's got surgery on Monday. We're going to try to repair his back right leg. So it's my little piece of Harvey, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great story because you told me that last night. And I thought that really was kind of neat because you're walking a property during the flooding system. You know, everything's going on. Here comes this broken dog up to you and he ends up just sniffing your hand. You're telling me this. And it's just like, oh, man, I got it now. You know, he kind of adopted you versus you adopt him.
That's what they say about pets. They choose their owner. And then this guy just had the sweetest eyes and he's wagging his tail. And I'm like, man, I gotta help him out, you know? So I have a little piece of Harvey. His name is not Harvey, though. There's going to be too many animals named Harvey, I think, after this thing.
Yeah. Any fun stories you guys can think about as far as, you know, we're talking about owners and one of the big fears was as a management company, now let's just kind of, you know, put the feel good aside for a minute. Let's talk about business stuff. As a business, the revenue that's generated to pay the payroll, your property managers and your staff is all coming through the rent. I mean, let's be real honest. That's where the money's coming from. Tenants pay rent. You guys pay your payroll and your staff and everything else. And then whatever's left is left. You pay the owners, of course, inside of there. So if rent's not coming in, that causes a little bit of distraction, you know, potentially. So hopefully your business is still going to run and survive through this process.
I would implore every business owner to make sure they have some kind of slush fund, right? We make sure we keep at least 1 month reserve in cash. And then, of course, we have a line of credit that allows us another, you know, 6 months. But we truly believe with the leasing income that we're getting this month will help the business cover the cost. So we probably won't have to dip into that line of credit.
Yeah, because Brad, remember, these people, even though they're not going to pay rent and the properties got flooded, you know, I think, you know, we've placed, you know, by the end of this month, we'll probably have placed 60 something people. So we basically took a bad situation and put them into producing units.
I will say this too, Brad. I mean, I know it's the 7th. We actually waived late fees this month for all of our tenants through the 10th of the month. So we're expecting a big portion of rent to come in around the 10th. We'll probably waive late fees the rest of the month as well as we start making phone calls. We have not even started. Normally, you know, we're on the phones on the 3rd or 4th of the month. Actually, probably on the 1st, we're letting people know rent is due, and we start making little phone calls and emails. I truly believe that we're going to get we normally collect 98-point-something% of our rent every month. Yeah. That's our numbers. Yeah. My guess is that we'll collect probably about 90. I think it's about 8 or 10% lower than what we're going to collect. How we deal with that is going to be the next step, right? Do we start evictions in October? What do we do? How do we help? Can we come up with some type of solution for those people that, you know, there's a lot of people that couldn't work and they don't get paid salary. They get paid hourly and they live paycheck to paycheck and they're just never going to catch up. How do we deal with those folks?
I always think it's not the home that they're living in. It's the job that's paying them and the home they're living in. If that's affected, you guys are going to be affected. It just creates a negative spiral. So I'm glad to hear you kind of have a plan to keep your business afloat, because, you know, if you're going bankrupt trying to provide a service, well, that's not doing anybody good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I do want to get one side story from you. You know, we've talked about the good. I do want to kind of go on the other side of that and kind of hear the Ebenezer Scrooge stories. If you're willing to share any, have there been any, like, you know, head scratching?
Yeah. Come on, Brad. You know Pete well enough to know there's got to be one of those stories.
Yeah, you gotta have one owner or tenant or somebody.
I got one tenant I can share with you.
No name.
I have one owner. The house completely flooded. I mean, you know, probably one of our worst flooded houses. Tenant lost everything. I mean, you know, everything. Tenant has three kids, and they've already found the house, and they're moving their stuff as quickly as we can. And I have an owner basically telling me while I'm at the house, first of all, the owner did an end around and was talking to the tenant directly instead of going through us, telling the tenant, oh, we're gonna demolish the house. Don't worry, you don't have to move your stuff. A day later, he's telling me I got to tell the tenant they need to move all of their stuff out of there, including their damaged couches and so forth, or else he's, you know, he wants to charge them security deposit, and per our contract, we have to give him back the house the way he got it, the way he gave it back to them. And I'm sitting here, and I have to, you know, basically I have to tell this lady to move this wet furniture. Meanwhile, she's got nobody to help her. She's by herself. Her husband has to go work because he was actually in a ServPro type business. He's working. She's by herself. And I got to tell her, oh, by the way, you got to move these couches. I just couldn't do it. And so basically that owner is no longer a client of ours. And so I just wouldn't do it. And that's when I told you about, you know, I decided that company policy right then and there after I made some phone calls. On the other side, we have this other owner. And by the way, this, you know, a lot of these happen because the owner is sidestepping the manager and going directly to the tenant. So I have another owner. He contacted the tenant. And of course, he wants to get into his property like the next day after the floods hit, because he doesn't want mold to grow and all this other stuff. And so he's basically, you know, contacting a resident and basically telling him, hey, I need to get in there. Well, the resident doesn't want him in there for whatever reason. And so the resident decides that they're not going to let him in. Well, he goes in anyway. The resident comes in with a couple of teenagers and starts, you know, they start having a, you know, they start, you know, yelling and screaming at this guy and his crew. So he has to get back out there. And then the tenant ended up calling the constables on the owner. So now we have this big cluster of an issue going on. Of course, now he wants to hand it back over to us. So now we have to deal with it. We have a lawyer involved now. If they would just listen to us and be patient and take care of people and not worry about the property so much, worry about the person, I think things would have been better off for both of these owners.
So you got one or two out of 700 owners, 600 plus owners. I guess that's not a bad percentage, but it's just infuriating and it makes you scratch your head. I mean, even I have a heart, believe it or not. So,
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D. Hi, everyone. Real quick, I apologize for the technical difficulties here. We're going to pick it up with Steve as we just took a short break a second ago. Here we go.
He would say, you know, how are you doing? How's everything at home? Do you need anything personally? Before we started asking about the business. And I think they really appreciated that because, you know, they're doing the best they can for the company, but they're living it too. They're evacuating. They don't have power. They don't, you know, so they're dealing with it as well. And we're asking them to go take care of other people.
Yep. And then communicate. There is no such thing as over communication in this type of, scenario. Over communicate with your vendors, with your teammates, with your owners, and with your residents.
Great stuff there, gents. Really appreciate your time here today. I'm going to go piece this together for a podcast episode. I'm going to try to put this out as soon as possible. I'll let you guys know. I'll get you a notification of when it's coming out so you can share it. But I think this has been a great episode. I think people will get a lot out of it because of the lessons learned. And it basically, I wanted to get you guys on the podcast because, one, I'm concerned about you. Everybody wants to know what's going on in Houston. And everybody kind of wants to know, okay, what would, we're all kind of like projecting our worries onto you guys. What if that were us? What would we be doing? So hopefully they can learn a thing or two by just taking in what you guys have been doing there. Wish you all the best and want to give you just a couple seconds to say anything at the end here.
Well, the one thing I do, I want to say is I was reached out from many NARPM members asking what they can do, offering up money. Can they pay somebody's rent? Can they drive down here and help us in any way? Can they take phone calls from us? So, I mean, we didn't really take anybody up on their offers, but I know they were heartfelt and they were real offers. And just one more reason to be part of an organization like NARPM.
Yeah, it was very touching how many people were personally reaching out to both Pete and myself, just, you know, making sure that we were okay and our well-being. And, you know, like Pete had said, I mean, I know Todd Breen was great. Now he's kind of going through this right now, but you know, he was asking if we needed his call center people to field calls, and he would dedicate a whole section of people that, you know, stuff like that, that just goes above and beyond the business level of things.
Yeah, that's very important. And I appreciate you guys telling us about that. And a lot of the NARPM folks are great folks out there that want to dedicate their time and assist in any way possible. Yeah, it's a really freaky thing. We skirted the edge of that hurricane, and we just kept worrying about you guys the whole time. So I'm glad everything's okay. I'm glad you guys had a plan. I had no doubt you would get through it. If there's anything more that we can do on this side, feel free to let us know. And thanks again for joining us on this podcast. And I think it's going to be a good episode to kind of give everybody the update and maybe some lessons learned they can apply.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on, Brad.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Today's show has been sponsored by Virtually Incredible, providing tenant screening services, call center services, and video production services to property managers. You may also visit them at virtuallyincredible.com.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.